We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12. We polished off chapter 11, did the whole chapter in one. But I really wanted to get to a lot of stuff. I know we went over a little bit last week. I'll try to watch that. By the way, if you're visiting here, you know, when it goes past 11, don't get nervous. We meet till 11:30, but I try to always get you out on time, you know. I'm real kind of serious about that. Okay, chapter 12, I'm going to read the first 10 verses, and hopefully we're going to cover that today. The problem is that every half a verse, every phrase is a stepping off point for a whole sermon. And I'll try to march through and cover some ground and not lose sight of the big picture. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is it is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but of mine infirmities. For though I shall desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. For now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I will take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Lord, I pray you'd bless to our spiritual nourishment your word this morning, that we might set our compass by it, that we might make it our extension of our right arm, that we might do all that's and be obedient children. And Lord, that we might respond to your promises and claim them for ourselves, that we might learn your truths, that we might obey your commands. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not expedient. It's not profitable, you might have. It's not a benefit for me, doubtless, to glory. It's no benefit in bragging. Boy, this is a sermon right there. You see what I mean? Every place is a stepping off point. I love hanging around people who just talk about themselves all the time and try to show you everything about them, why they're so wonderful. Don't you love those people? Raise your hand. I love being around. No, you don't. Paul saying, now he was boasting. I say boasting. You know, back in chapter 11, he was saying, let me brag a little bit. Verse 18, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I would glory also. I'm bragging, he's saying. Skip down to verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And then besides all that, the care of the churches is upon me all the time. So there's a lot of stuff on my plate. I've suffered for Jesus. I know what it's like to suffer. Now he's in chapter, there's nothing like that quite anywhere in the New Testament. Chapter 12 is nothing quite like this either. He says, it's not expedient. There's no profit in bragging. Boy, that's quite a resume. I don't know anyone who has that. I don't know anyone in church history who's ever had that, save the Apostle Paul. He's a singularly distinct in all the things he suffered for Christ's sake. People suffer for Christ's sake all the time. Yea, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's what's prescribed. It's on the menu. You can't get away from it. Suck it up. Live with it. Bear up under it. And we'll learn a little bit about that today. No one's going to suffer like Paul suffered, but we do suffer. And we talked about that last week. We'll talk about it a little this week. But it's not expedient. There's no profit in bragging. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Did Paul? Yeah. Yeah. Chapter 9 of the book of Acts, he's knocked off his high horse, literally and figuratively, on the road to Damascus, and he had a vision of the Lord. So that wasn't a vision, that was an actual factual event. Yeah, but it was a vision, it was an occurrence, it happened. When I say a vision, I think a lot of you people think, okay, it was like a dream sequence or something like this, but he says that. He says, listen, I went to the third heaven, we'll talk about that in a minute. Whether in the body or out of the body. I don't know if I was physically there. I don't know if I was just seeing it. I don't know if I was spiritually, astral projection out of the body. I don't know any of that stuff. I just know I saw some stuff. So here he is on the road to Damascus. He sees the Lord. Then later on, he sees a Macedonian man. Come help us, you know. And he has that vision there. He's arrested in Jerusalem, and the Lord appears to him that night and says, hey, Paul, you did excellent. I was really blessed by that. Don't worry, you're going to Rome. You got a visit with Nero coming up. You're going to preach the gospel to him as well. Paul had a lot of visions. I didn't just give you all of them. I just gave you a few of them right off the top of my brain. He said, doubtless I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. You know, if you categorize all the visions in the New Testament, there's quite a few of them. In the book of Acts, in some of these epistles of Paul, in other places, there's a lot of visions. Joel says, your young men shall have visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. I'm a visionary. I don't have any visions. I'm an old guy. I dream dreams. Not all the time. I don't have Joseph, the angel keeps appearing to him in all his dreams. He's this wonderful dream ministry. I want that one, you know. Honey, tuck me in. I'm going to go up and, can you come and tuck me in? I got to go visit with Jesus now and, and have this little nap time, vision thing going on. I'd love to have that dream ministry. Every once in a while, I have a dream that I think is spiritually significant. I don't always tell everybody them all the time because sometimes it's just for me. Paul doesn't reveal this until 14 years after it happened. Not until then. Why? It's time. Sometimes we have visions, sometimes we have dreams, sometimes the Lord speaks to our hearts, sometimes we just hear something in a sermon or a friend's talking to us and we discern that the Lord's speaking to our hearts. Well, sometimes I share that if it's a benefit to other people, sometimes I preach it and teach that, sometimes I just live with that. Not everything I know comes out and it's not supposed to either. You know, there's this thing called this filter. I know people, as soon as a thought occurs to them, it just comes zoop right out. They blurt all the time. You don't know anyone like that, do you? I hope you're not that person. No, I'm not speaking about anyone here. I mean, I'm simply not. But I've known people you can tell, just as soon as it occurs, it finds instant expression. A little discernment, please. I mean, just because you thought of it doesn't mean you have to say it. And sometimes I think the Lord speaks in our hearts and we don't communicate it because it's not the time, it's not the place, it's not the person, it's not the situation for a lot of reasons. Well, Paul has this revelation and he talks about it, and he talks about it in the third person. I knew a man in Christ. He's the man. I mean, come on. And later on he'll reveal that. But again, he's not trying to brag. Hey, you know what happened to me? I tell you, man, I am awesome. You know what God did? He gave me the special revelation. He took me up into heaven. Well, I don't know if it was in a body or out of body. I don't know if it was just there. I don't know if I was physically out. But he didn't even want to say it like it's him. He doesn't want to brag. He doesn't want to promote his own cause. Why is that? Well, he's a humble guy. Look, I think that's a really, really important thing. You know, humble yourself, God says, or I'll do it for you. He wants us to be humble people. It's not natural. It's not easy. No reason to be proud. There's nothing to be proud about. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Where's the pride in that? But still, we find always a reason to promote our cause, to talk about ourselves in a good light, or why we're so awesome. I don't understand that. I don't understand it in me. Well, I knew this guy, and he says it like third person, that guy over there. I knew a man in Christ. It was over 14 years ago. Why didn't you tell it till now? Well, I didn't feel like the time was right. But now I'm telling you. These people who are chasing him around the empires, and Paul's not the real deal. He's this like squeaky voice little, you know, he's that one of them yippy dogs on a leash. You know, he's barking at you like he's going to cause mayhem. If that leash ever broke, boy, he'd be backpedaling furiously. We were walking yesterday. We had one of them little dogs yelling at us, and the owner was yelling the dog's name, like, stop, stop. He's on a leash, and I was thinking, like, if that leash ever slipped or broke or anything, we needn't worry, you know what I mean? In a battle with a mouse, it'd be about, you know, touch and go. It'd be a photo finish, you know what I'm saying? So we weren't really nerved up, and he's, like, apologizing to us, and we're like, no big deal, you know? It's just not. Well, this saying Paul's like that. Oh, yeah, he's all weighty in his letters. He's Mr. Big Shot. But when he shows up, he's rude in his speech. He's not really a rough and tough guy like he comes across in the letters. And so there's people saying, like, and they're trying to undermine his authority, undermine his ministry. And Paul's like, big deal. But the problem with that is they're undermining Jesus Christ, and they're undermining the gospel. And so now Paul's, like, defending himself. And so now he comes out with this, hey, let me tell you something, what happened. Okay, and it's advancing the cause of Jesus Christ. And in it, it's kind of advancing his own cause, but he's not trying to promote his own cause. He's kind of in a sticky wicket. He's trying to tell us something without saying, look at how awesome I am. Look at how God treats me different from everybody else. Listen, I don't know if any of you have been caught up to third heaven. When he says third heaven, he means this. It's not the, the sky. It's not the, the atmosphere above the sky. It's not the outer space. It's heaven of heavens. It's an idiom in his day, means where God lives. He doesn't want to. I took a ride in a hot air balloon. I got abducted by aliens. Nothing like that. He's saying, no, I went to heaven of heavens, paradise, where, you know, where God lives, that heaven, okay? Third heaven. Now, I don't know if it was bodily. I don't know that. How can you not know? I don't know. I've never had a situation like that where I know if I was in my body or out of my body. That was so special that, you know, I don't know. Now, is this like some out-of-body experience? Perhaps. Is there such things like that? Listen, don't mess around with astral projection and all weird stuff. We don't go all cult on me, but Paul's not asking for this. He wasn't sitting, you know, in a lotus position going om, om with incense burning, trying to get out of his body and nothing like that. What happened is God said, hey, come up here. I got something to show you. Now, whether it was in his body or out of his body, who knows that? He doesn't even know it. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. He says it twice, how that he was caught up into paradise. Okay, third heaven, paradise. And heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Now, this is remarkable to me. He has these words, and he can't even share it with us. Now, what did he see? That's right off the table altogether. He's not going to share anything about that whatsoever. Why not? I don't know. We had 14 years, and we got this much out of him. When John goes to heaven in the book of Revelation, he's like, trying to describe all the stuff, and he's like, valley girl. Well, it's like, heaven is the end of his vocabulary. He's trying to stretch it to cover things that you and I have never seen. Well, okay, it was a throne, and him who sat on it, well, oh good, we're going to get a description of God. It was like a jasper stone to look at, and you think, oh, thanks, that's very, very helpful. Well, it's kind of this light, and it had this like kind of a halo-ish kind of rainbow kind of. He's talking in words that you and I can't, we've never seen such things. He runs out of nouns. He can't even describe it. Paul's like not the right guy for this. He's like, what did I say? Forget about it. I'd never be able to describe it. Let me tell you what I heard. Nah, I can't even tell you that. Why? It's unlawful. What's he saying? He's saying I couldn't, it would be a sin. It would be against the law for me to, it would be a crime for me to try to tell you what I heard. And by the way, what he heard is the big thing, not what he saw, or at least it was the big thing to Paul. Or is he saying, God told me, don't tell you? I don't know. Because whatever he saw, whatever he heard, he's impressed by what he heard, but he's He's not going to share with us. You know, I will. You know, the guy went to heaven and, you know, three days. You know, four days, 3 nights in heaven. And he's selling you the CD and the DVD package, $89.95, three small payments of. What does he got? John, the Revelator, tells us some things. Other than that, do you know? I want to say this gently. You know, I want to say it very gently. People have these out-of-body experiences, near-death, comeback kind of stuff. In Scripture, we have three people that Jesus healed, right? Jairus' daughter, the widow of Nain's son, and Lazarus. Now, collective, all the things that they tell us about what they saw is zero words. Not one syllable is given to what they saw after death. Scripturally, you can't gainsay that. You can't prove me wrong. Now, in the New Testament, Peter raises up Dorcas, Talitha, however you say it, Gazelle. I like that better than Dorcas, okay? Just me personally, if you got a daughter and sister named Dorcas. Not my favorite name, but other than that, I mean, so she comes back from, and what does she tell us about what she saw? Zero, nothing. So I want to go really slow and really, so somebody like has this out-of-body death, near-death, I saw a light and Jesus spoke to me and said it's not my time. Are they lying to us or are they telling us truth? I don't know that. You know, because people, you know, I want to go real slow here, because people who are Christians have told me this, reliable people, and I believe their accounts to be valid, and the things they say don't have any, they don't come up against Scripture and say something that Scripture says the opposite of. And then I've heard, you know, people who like had these out-of-body death, you know, and there was a light and I was going to the light and then I felt like I shouldn't and it wasn't my time and I went back. And they come back and the message is, don't worry, it's fine, it's wonderful, it's all good. They weren't Christians then, they're not Christians now, they're not promoting Jesus Christ. It's all good, you had nothing to fear, it's wonderful and good and glorious and great and you're going to have a great time in heaven. Oh, don't worry about God, don't worry about your sin, don't worry about none of that stuff. My thinking is like, shut up. One, you didn't die long enough to get in front of God where he started judging you for your sins, because you wouldn't be having that message. Or did they have some sort of, you know, they're in and out of consciousness and Satan's there playing with their mind? I don't know any of that stuff. But you want to set your compass by somebody's quasi, they're on ether, not ether, what's the word when you're happy gas, when you're under anesthesia, when you're under anesthesia. Okay, you want to be on, like, somebody's got, like, this anesthesia going, and the guy's working on the heart, which is stopping and starting and things like this, and they come back, and they get pepperoni vision of, you want to set your compass by that? Well, listen, the Word of God won't lie to you. Paul was there, and he says, listen, it was good. I mean, it was wonderful. Let me tell you all I want to tell you, all God wants me to tell you. And he says, it's unspeakable. It's not lawful for a man to utter. That is incredible. Listen, these guys are going around saying, you ain't the real deal. Well, how come God's showing me all these visions if he doesn't have any plan or any use for me? He told me I'm going to go and take this message to kings and princes. And did he tell them guys, you know, undermining my authority, tell all them they're gonna have an extraordinary message and all this stuff. But he's trying to say this stuff without bragging. He's saying why he's really an apostle. No, for such a one I will glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Why would you brag about your infirmities? Well, we'll see that at the end of the reading here today. Though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth me. I don't want to make myself more than I am. How do you make yourself more than Paul the Apostle is what I want to know. But we can do that very easily. I can make it myself more than I am all the time. I can scenario you Rosalie, and I can tell you stories and where I always look like the hero. But what dictates is, look, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. Now, this is very, very, very important to me. This is very critical. This is what I am, warts and all. I'm not super sophisticated. I'm not a great speaker. We know all those things. But I want to tell you the truth, for good and for bad. Sometimes the truth makes me look not so wonderful. Sometimes the truth makes me look okay. But I want to tell you the truth, because here's what it is. I want to give people hope. Like, my background is horrific. Chaos. Outside of Jesus Christ, my life was, there's not words to describe it. Let's say the person teaching, he was an alcoholic. Let's say he really, like, struggled with alcohol. And if somebody here struggling with alcohol, and I would say to, you ought to give up the bottle. Ain't no benefit in that. And you're saying, like, well, if you knew my work situation, if you knew my wife, my kids, my pressure cooker, I need some, stress relief and stuff like that. And I would able to say, I was drinking, like, this much a day, 5 gallons of whiskey. And I was like, I went to AA and tried all the stuff. And then Jesus came in my life and I put the bottle away. And if I was able to say that, you'd say, oh, you're all bragging and stuff like this. No, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you, Jesus is awesome, and he can take that away from you. And I always want to share the truth in such a way that it's a benefit, so that even if it makes me look okay or the hero, it's not the point. The point is, listen, I'm trying to get a message to you about Jesus Christ, because I want to share, and I want to share, like, accurately. Like, sometimes, I don't want to tell you stories where I'm the hero each and every time, but I want to tell you something like the truth, like, hey, listen, I know what you're struggling with. I'm up against the same things. I know what your life looks like. I know what the problems are. I have the same problems. I know what temptation looks like. But let me tell you something. Jesus is able, and at the end of the message, I want you to know something about Jesus Christ. So if I tell you the story, I say, yeah, I used to be that. I used to struggle with that, but I don't struggle with that anymore, or I found victory, and let me show you the victory. I'm trying to share victory with you. I'm trying to share, like, how awesome Jesus is and how you can have victory in Jesus. And those I have very short patience for those eternal victims, Oh, you don't know, you don't understand. Get a grip. Take a mite all, partner. You just drama queen. That looks so ugly on guys. Oh, you don't know my hurt and my, oh, I just, oh, it's, really? Let me tell you, Jesus is awesome. I don't care what you broke. He can fix it. I don't care what situation you've got yourself into. He can get you out of it. He can fix. He's a savior. He redeems. He changes. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. So now I'm telling you a story, and this is my struggle. This is who I am. This is what warts and all. This is. But I want to be real. I want to be, because truth, and some people will, it will resonate that, oh, you're still, that's an issue, that's something you're struggling with, that's something you're not the hero in this story, you're the just like me guy. The truth matters, and it will, and I think there's a benefit. So I'm trying to say? Look, when you're helping somebody, you're ministering, no doubt what you came out of, the struggles, the trials, the tribulations, everything that makes you, there's a purpose in that. You can minister to people with the ministry that God ministered to you. And we looked at that in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, it was chapter 4, I can't remember. Do you remember that? That's a good thing. Don't make yourself the hero unless the actual telling the story makes you look good. I don't know, but truth. Say that, minister that. Now, if you're acting like, no problems, Satan doesn't even bother me. He knows when he's met his match. I have to take Satan, I slap him around like nothing, right? Don't talk like that. Why? Because then people, all they get is like, I don't know anything about that. I struggle every time. I'm working, trying to work these things or pray them through, trying to make them part of my life. The truth, just the truth. God will use the truth. God will bless the truth. God will work through you to minister to somebody else. You don't have to be infallible. You don't have to be the hero. You can be the zero sometime. Let Jesus Christ be the hero. Because at the end of the day, don't follow me. Don't be awesome like me. Is that my message? God forbid it should ever be. Be awesome like Jesus. Jesus is the hero of every story. Jesus is the awesome one. I want you to follow him with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I've said this before, don't idolize me. Some people do. You'll demonize me later on. When you worship an idol whose feet are made of clay, when you see that, you'll say, this guy's just, he nothing. He's just, I'm trying to tell you I'm nothing. And this is Paul. This is like, hey, let me tell you about this guy, right? Of such a one will I glory. I'll brag about that guy. Yet of myself, he's the same guy. Yeah, I know, but that's not the point. I will not glory but in my infirmities. The things I want you to know about, the things that I struggle with, the things that, and so he goes on to tell us what things he struggles with. Verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was an abundance of revelations. If we categorize them, we'd take half the sermon. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I know, there's a lot of talk about what the thorn was. Some people think it was an eye affliction. I kind of think about that sometimes. There was a malaria going through the region, this and that. Who knows? You know why I think he leaves it open-ended, why he doesn't, hey, this is my thorn, this is what happened to me. So whatever is your issue, you can insert yourself in the story. Is there given to you a thorn in the flesh? No doubt. Do you have this like unprotected, that's always like a sore spot? Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Whatever it is it a physical affliction? Is it a spiritual malady? Is it something that you're really, really weak in? Something that Satan like tempts you in all the time? No doubt. It's a thorn in the flesh, and it's also a messenger of Satan. And there's a thorn in the flesh. Is that from God? I think so. Is the messenger of Satan, is that the same thing? Or is that just something God's allowing Satan to come and get? Listen, so he's got this issue, right? Let's say it's his eyesight. Boy, I wish I could see. I get this, pus and stuff coming out of my eyes all the time. I can't even write my own letters. I'm just giving you a for instance, okay? Because that's what some people think it is, all right? He says to one church, and I can't remember, he says, I bear you record, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. And that's kind of a strange thing to say to a guy who's got two good eyes. But let's just say that's the issue right there, right? I got this thorn in the flesh, this physical affliction, and also Satan is using it to buffet me. Look, you know what that's like. So you got this issue going on, and Satan's right there because you know how he is, right? Like he's on you like white on rice. Yeah, oh, God loves you. Yeah, Zeph. Why are you struggling with this? If God really likes you, if you're really the guy, if God was really using you, why would you be suffering like this? I know that. I know how he is. Have you let him? With guys, Satan plays with us a different way. It's usually like the lust and things like that, power, money, job. We want to make ourselves look good. With women, it's usually like fear. Women fear a lot. Guys never relate to that. What's they be afraid of, you know? It's different with women. They have fear that, this is going to happen. What about this? And they fear the future, and they fear this and that. And it's different, right? Satan plays on it. He plays with our mind. He's constantly at us. He's constantly nattering at us. Now we have this really big issue in our lives. Let's say it's a physical issue, not like a eyesight. Let's say it's cancer, something like this. You know, if you had more faith, you'd be healed, says Satan. God really loves you, and you're getting chemotherapy. What's chemotherapy in the Bible, by the way? Oh, yeah. Yeah, God loves you, all right. Isn't that how Satan is? No matter what's wrong with us, he comes. What the issue is, he comes and exploits it and tells us how much God don't care about us. God leaves us to suffer in this. You got to read the Bible. If I could convince you that God loves you, I'd be halfway home to a lot of things are going to melt away if you just understood how much God loved us. If you just understood what a loving Heavenly Father he was. And when Satan comes to these accusations, he says, shut up, go away, you don't know what you're talking about. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. There's so many verses. I mean, God is love. There's so many that we could just, and if we just put our focus on them, God loves us. But Satan comes and he takes these things in our life and he blows them up in this big, yeah. See, God loves you, huh? I don't think so. And Paul's saying, you know, God's letting that happen in my life and Satan's exploiting it, but just because they both dovetail nicely and exactly where God wants me to be, lest I should be exalted above measure. Can I tell you why you have whatever affliction you have? God's allowing it. Let's say, you know, I just had one, alcohol, right? Alcohol isn't a big problem for me at this point in my life. It was one time when I was in the Marine Corps, I drank like a fish, but now, you know, that's so far in the rearview mirror. If I was in somebody's house and they opened up their refrigerator and they bought a beer out and started drinking, I'm like, oh God, help me now. It's not like that. It's like, not a big deal at this point, right? Why is there some people who are like, oh, God, help me now, oh, God, help me now? Because God wants there to be a point in your life where you're always relying on him. The part, too, is that we're not really, we have a weak suit, and we have like a natural propensity to, like, can I give you an example? If you think about Peter the Apostle, his long suit is bravery. He's ready to take on, they're coming to, you know, take Jesus and arrest him, and he's ready to take on the whole Roman army. There's maybe 200 or 300 people. He's got a sword. Come on, me and Jesus, we got you right now. And he's swinging as he hacks off Malchus, the servant of the high priest there. You remember that? Is you think Peter's a coward? I don't think so. I think he's really, really brave. And that's the problem. Our long suit, the thing that we really are capable in, that's the thing that we don't cry out to the Lord for. That's not our thorn in the flesh. It's like, psh, I got no problem. I am no coward, so I got no problem there. Now, some of us are just cowards. And then when the heat's on, we're, oh, God, help us, God, help us. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, it's a wonderful thing. When you're in a place of prayer where you're like, I am so over my skis, Lord, you got to show up in a big, big way and help me right now. You got to show me why Jesus is more attractive than this temptation to cave, to cower, to give in, to... We're in a really good place. You see that, don't you? So where's Peter, where does he fail? In the place where he's not praying. He's no coward. And later on, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Little girl, a little doorkeeper. Yeah, you're one of them. Oh, no, honey, not me. Really? Well, what happened, Peter? He wasn't praying up. He had that natural propensity, and he didn't think, oh, I got this, Lord, I got this covered. You know, later on, he's bragging, right, earlier that night. Oh, yeah, I know these other guys, they'd punk out, but Lord, you can count on me, right? That's how it works out. God lets things come into our life. Satan will buffet us, but it brings about a good result. Otherwise, why would God let it into our life? God who loves us, because it brings us to the place where we're supposed to be with him, where we're calling on his name, where we're relying on him, where we're meeting with him. Do you remember? Hey, let's go over across the, we're going to go over there, and there's a demoniac over in Gadara. We're going to go minister to him. They're halfway across, storm, tempest, lightning, thunder, bad stuff, right? Right? Storm, it's on the menu. Why? We have to know he's the God of storms. We have to know when we cry out to him, when we wake him up, don't you care that we perish? Which is probably a really bad prayer, but it reflects a hot attitude that's desperate. They met him in a storm, problem solved. He says to the storm, shut up, be muzzled, is the literal. And the storm just... Next time they're in a storm, he's not in the boat. Remember, he's in the mountain. He's praying alone. He's going to walk right by him, right? And they're rowing. It's tempestuous. It's fury. It's all this stuff like this. And so, he'd been walking the water, all this stuff like this, and the whole thing. So remember when he came in the boat after all that? The storm was over, and they were in the middle up to that point. Now all of a sudden they're on the other side. What did that look like? In some sort of vortex or time disturbance? Or meeting Jesus in the storm was their destination. They got there when they met him in the storm. Sometimes God allows these things, these storms, these messages of Satan, these tent pegs, which is what this thorn literally means, tent pegs. He allows these things in life so we can meet him at that place. It's a wonderful place to be. It works out nicely. It's where we're going. It helps us. The guy who's like, I can do this, no problem. I can live this life. I can be awesome all the time. That's a dreadfully bad place to be. I'm never praying. I'm looking inward because I have it all going on. I can do anything. And so instead of ever looking to Jesus Christ, I'm always looking to me as a... There are parts of my life where I actually do that, by the way. Oh, I got this. And I don't pray. When I should be praying, I'm like, hey, this ain't nothing but a thing. What a stupid idiot I can be sometimes. Paul's saying, no. God didn't want me all full of myself, so he let me have this thorn in the flesh. Satan's there beating me up. Buffet means to punch. It means to buffet, like you would think. And it's okay. Because you know what, in the end game, I'm not exalted above measure. I'm within myself. I'm looking to God. For this thing I besought the Lord three times in my departure. Is three a lot? Nobody knows this. He knows his loving heavenly Father would take it away if that was his. So he prays and it doesn't go away. He's like, huh, that's strange. So like he's like, now he's really praying, right? And it still doesn't go away. And finally, after the third time, God's saying, nah, I want you to have that. It's good for you. Now, some people say the three times, that's a euphemism for he kept on praying about it. I don't know. Take your pick. But here's the red letter part. And he said unto me, the Lord said to God, to Paul, when Paul's praying to God, God shows up and speaks, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Did he have a vision again? Did God speak to him audibly? Or is it like us? You know, sometimes, to me, it's like God just knows how to get a message to me. Sometimes I hear his voice, and I'm using my ditto fingers for the radio people later on. Look, he knows how to get a message to me, whatever that looks like. He knows how to speak to my heart. I've never heard his voice audibly, but I know sometimes that was God speaking. This is God was giving me a message, getting a promise to me, a warning, don't step over this line, bad things are going to happen. He's reaching me, he's telling me something, he's comforting me in times of trial or pain. He knows how to get a message to me. Is that not true of your own life? People say, well, God spoke to me and he said, that doesn't worry me. The people who never say that, they get me a little nervous. Really, God never speaks to you ever? Do you ever avail yourself? Are you reading his word? Are you? Because in John chapter 9, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I've never heard his voice audibly, but he gets messages to me. He tells me what I need to know. And here, I don't know if it's that or not, if God spoke right through the heavens, showed up in Paul and said, let me tell you something. But the message, don't let what he says overshadow the way he got it. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. What's grace? Because a lot of times we talk about grace, and you know, I really messed up and I asked God to forgive me and he was gracious. True, but that's just called mercy, okay? There's more to grace than just his forgiving you when you sin. He's saying, in this point, it's sustaining grace. Okay, you're going through a problem, and I'm not taking that problem away. My grace is all you need. My graciousness, I want you to keep on leaning on me. Keep on leaning in. Keep on, God, it's happening again. Please help me. That's your sustaining strength right there. And you're still going to have the thorn in the flesh. Or the cancer. Or the propensity towards alcohol, or homosexuality, or fear, or depression, or say, boy, this isn't a very happy, feel-good message. No, but it's true. Now, every time you pray, he just takes away and keeps it away. Every time Satan tempts you with something, you say, Lord, show up and help me out. And he does. And now Satan never comes and bothers you again. Good. If you got that going, good. But that's not happening in my life. You know, God's telling me, grace, my grace is sufficient. Lean in on me. Seek me. The blessings will follow. The power will follow. The ability to overcome this temptation will follow. Sometimes he takes us out of the situation. Sometimes he takes the burden away. Sometimes he strengthens our shoulder that we're able to carry the burden. That's grace. That's grace. It's not always deliverance, no matter what. The guy with the amazing $20,000 smile and $2,000 suits tell us, like, just, it's not always that way. It's just not. He'll sustain you with his grace, and that's an answer to the prayer. That's what we need, right? We need to be sustained. Said, when I'm taking a poke at is that name it, claim it, they never preached this verse. You know, if there's something happening in your life, God wants you to rise above it and just, you know, speak truth into and come against and have all these weird ways of telling us, no, you're going to just be walking in victory all the time. Well, sometimes victory looks like I'm making it day to day. I'm faithful to God. I'm praying. He's seeing me through. The thorn wasn't taken away. Satan is still throwing a beating on me, and I'm still standing. I'm still walking with the Lord. I'm still loving Jesus, regardless of any of this stuff. Now, I don't know if that's name it, claim it. To me, it's not. It's like God showed up and he helped me. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is a big saying. I don't know if I can do it justice. Verse 5, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Why? The end of verse 9, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Now you can explain why. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Is this important? It's just only the most important thing maybe I've ever said in my life. Who do you trust in? You or God? I know a lot of people, they trust in themselves for salvation. I'm a good person. I do good things. I'm a kind person. I help out when I see a need. I'm a generous person. I'm going to heaven. God looks at me and he says, you are doing excellent. I don't need the cross. I don't need blood. I don't need none of that stuff. I'm a good person. They're just trusting in themselves. Now, when you're tempted, you just puff up like an adder, puffer fish or something. Just puff up. I don't know what kind of animal you just puff up like, but just puff up and just tell Satan, it ain't happening. No way, no how, not around here. And what are you trusting? You're trusting in you. Glorious. Wow. I run to Jesus like a little girl sometimes. I think it's very manly as I call out to, hey, I'm so in over my skis. Lord, this could go very, very bad in a hurry. People are counting on me. People are expecting me to live a holy life. Lord, you know, if this sees fruition in my life, this is a game changer. This is going to be terrible bad. Can you help me? Can you strengthen me? Can you get me through this? And he just leaves me like flapping in the breeze with the fuzzy end of the lollipop. High and dry. Nope, not going to help you today. Too bad, so sad, right? Not my God, never. My infirmities, the things that I call out to him for, that's a glorious thing. He shows up, he helps. He's awesome, he can do anything. He can cure whatever's ailing me. I look to me for strength or look to him. I look to me for strength, mayhem, chaos, disaster, bad things that lead to bondage, that lead my life going down off the tracks, down over the embankment, total, or I look to God and I say, help me, help me, help me, please help me in this situation. He says, yeah, of course, here I am. What did you do now? Lord, I broke this. He goes, let Daddy look at it, let me fix it. It'll be good, it'll be fine, son. Is he like that? Yeah, he's gracious, he's good. He's a constant source of strength. If we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. Not really, only every time, only every single time, but I don't need him. That's your problem. You don't see a need for him. I don't know how I can communicate that. I need him like only every day, all the time. You know, when like Sunday morning, the first thing I do, you start hyperventilating. Lord, if anything good's going to happen today, you know the Spirit of God's going to show up and do that. I don't have it in me. I think it's a good place to start. Now I say, Lord, I got this. I got this. Don't you even, I've been studying up a storm. I'm on this. You don't even have to. The blessing will be just, pearls of erudition will just flow out of my mouth and people will be so blessed. You have to know, I've never prayed like that in my whole life ever even once, right? I mean, I would, not about death, but about some things in my life. And I don't say, Lord, I got this one, but I act like he's not available, like I can take care of this. That's a sad place to be. No, I'm gonna brag about my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, for that reason, I'm gonna take pleasure in infirmities. We pray infirmities, Lord, smite me with cancer or blindness or bad something happening in my life. No, we don't pray for them. Don't worry, they'll happen. You know what I mean? But it's okay. It doesn't make you a bad person. Everyone's going to second guess you and look over your shoulder. If something's wrong with you physically, you know they're going to tell you, well, it's because you don't have enough faith. Or, and then they're going to try to prescribe home remedies. And they're going to tell you, do this, health things or something like this. Maybe you're just there because God wants you there sometimes. There's going to be an infirmity somewhere in your life. Nobody's the whole, all that. Nobody's got it going on physically, emotionally, mentally. In some area of our life, we need the assistance of God. We need God to direct. We need to lean in on God and get his strength, no matter what it is. And the sooner we learn that, and man, you are hopelessly, you're the worst. We're so stupid, we didn't ask directions. Oh, I got this. We're hopelessly lost, 3 hours late, and we're not even going to stop and ask somebody where we are. But we bring that into our spiritual life. We bring that into our, oh, I got this, I can do this, I'm okay, I'm, really? That's why we're falling down. No, infirmities are a good thing. I'm taking pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Does that cover you in something? We can go through each one of them, but we can see ourselves short in several of those categories. No matter which it is. For Christ's sake, when I am weak, then I am strong. Why is there strength and weakness? Because in our weakness, when we recognize our weakness, we call unto God. And that's always a good thing. Does he show up? Does he help? Only every single time. Only every single time. Will he leave you? Nope, you went one too far. You made your bed, now lie in it. Can you show me that verse, by the way? I've been asking people that for a long time. The you made your bed, lie in it verse. No, I'm your father. I'm here to help. What did you do now? I'll fix it. Daddy will fix it. Will he? Yep. We understand our weakness. It's a great place. We understand his strength. And that can-do attitude, that's great, America, kind of spiritually. It's bankrupt. Let's stand. Let's pray. The thought's simple. Lord, we're not much. We need you every day, every hour of the day. We rely on you. Our strength, our confidence, our hope is in you. Our victory is in you. Lord, just help us to realize that. Help us to be so, especially as men, Lord, help us to be not so self-sufficient and think that we can do all these things. It's Lord, you'll do that in our lives. It won't get done. After everything's been said, there's a place where only you go in our hearts and our lives where you start, changing things for good and for God. Help us not learn this one the hard way, Lord, but that we just embrace it, would see our need, and would gravitate towards loving the Savior, being close to the Savior, always calling upon Jesus for everything. It's in Jesus' name that we ask these things. Amen.